Bezras Hashem Yisparach, today's daf is Lamed Hey in Maseches Shabbos. It is the 97th daf in Shas. As we near the 100th daf in Shas, I'd like to be Mechazik, the Chevra, who, like me, is starting for their first time in the cycle of the Daf Yomi. I thought of a statistic that actually was helpful for me, and that is, Shas is a little bit more than 2,000 dafim. That means, if we, Bezras Hashem, are able to do this 20 more times, in other words, 100 dafim, 20 more times, 21 more times, and a little bit, then Be'ezer Hashem will be zoche in 7 years to finish Shas. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata D'Shmaya. Let's pick up with the Gemara on the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing the sugyas of Bein HaShmashos. Last we had left off in the Gemara, there was a machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Yosef about what is the length of time of Bein HaShmashos, from Shkia to Tzeis HaKochavim. Rabbah says it's the amount of time it takes for an individual to walk 3/4 of a mil, and Rav Yosef said the amount of time to walk 2/3 of a mil. Our Gemara picks up, analyzing that the machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Yosef actually seems to be incongruous in another instance. The chilufa bechalta. And the opposite is true when it comes to a kaveres. A kaveres is a large beehive, and over here, instead of Rabbah giving the large number, Rav Yosef is going to give the large number. To explain what we mean, we have to talk about the case. Here we're talking about the sugya of muktza. What constitutes a kli vis-a-vis muktza? We know that a utensil, according to most opinions, if something is a utensil, then one is allowed to move it on Shabbos. If it's not a utensil, then you're not allowed to. The Amar Rabbah said, chalsa, when it comes to a kiveris, bas trei kuri, if it's so large that it holds 2 kor. That's quite a bit of weight. Shari l'totula, you're still allowed to carry it, because even though it holds 2 kor, nevertheless it still has identity of a kli. Ubas talsa kuri asr, but once it holds 3 kurim, it's so large, then it doesn't have status of kli, asr l'totula, you're not allowed to carry it. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says even if it's 3, it's acceptable. Bas talsa kuri nami shari, you're allowed to carry it if it's 3. Bas arba kuri asr, it's only going to be asr when it is 4. Over here, Rav Yosef gives a larger shear. In contrast to the length of time for Bein HaShmashos, it's a smaller shear. The Gemara now fleshes out a little bit more of these halachos about a kiveres. Amar Abai, boi minei de mar. Abai said, I asked mar. Here that's a reference to Rabbah. B'shas maisa, at a time that I needed to carry a kiveres, vafilu batre kuri lo sharile. And he didn't even let me carry something that was able to hold 2 kor. Kimat, who was he following? Kiai Tana. He was following the Tana in Kalin, Perik Tesvav, Mishnah Aleph. Kiveres hakash v'kiveres hakonim, a hive made of hay and a hive made of reeds, ubar svina alexandris, and a very large cistern that was used in the Egyptian boats to hold water. Sheyesh lahem shulayim, has a broad base. Ve'machzikos arbaim sa'a belach, and they hold 40 sa'a of liquid inside. Shein kurayim, which is equal to 60 sa'a be'yavesh, if it was dry. Tahorim, the halach is that their Torah doesn't have a status of a kli. So Rabbah said even 2 kor doesn't even have a status of a kli. The Gemara had now began discussing in regards to the shiurim, so the Gemara fleshes this out. Amar Abaye Shma Mina, what we see from this above Mishnah and Kalim, is Hai Gudsha Tilsa Havi. The difference between 60 saw by Yavesh and 40 saw on Lach is that when it comes to Yavesh, one is able to pile up something above the top. Think about a cup, and if you want to fill it up with water, you can only fill it up at the top. If you want to fill it up with sugar, you're able to be godesh, you're able to pile above the rim. The difference, says Abaye, is that we had said the difference in the amount of volume, therefore, that a kli that holds 40 sa of water up until its rim, and the amount that it could hold in terms of yavesh is one third more, is 60 sa, because you could pile it up, it won't fall over the rim up until a certain point. So then when it comes to adding, piling up beyond the rim, when it comes to yavesh, it's one third more than whatever is held in the actual utensil. We put a big period here, and the Gemara comes back to the sugya of Bein Hashmashos. Abaye Chazia l'Rava, Abaye saw Rava de Kodoy l'Marav. He was looking in to the west, according to Rashi, to see if there was any traces of the sun. Amalei, vat the sun's red color. Amalei v'atanya calls man shepnei mizrach madimin. But didn't we learn that you're supposed to check the west or the east? We learned pnei mizrach madimin. So why is it that you are checking the west? Amalei, Rava responded, misar pnei mizrach mamish. Does it mean mamish look in the eastern hemisphere? Lo panim hamadimin es hamizrach. It means where the sun sets in the west, that it creates red in the east. Ikudami Rava Chaza Abaye de Kadoi Lemizrach. Rava saw Abaye that was looking into the east. Amalei misavris pnei mizrach mamish panim hamadimin es hamizrach. It means that the face of the sun, which sets in the west, makes the reddish color in the east. V'siminach kavasa. And a sign to remind yourself of this is a window, that when a sun sets opposite a window, the reddish color is reflected on the window itself. So too, on some level, the eastern hemisphere reflects the setting of the sun and reflects the red color, the beautiful color that we associate with sunset, that appears as well in the east. In the discussion we had yesterday about the length of Bein Hashmashos, we have the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya that says, it's the amount of time it takes for a person to walk a half a mil at the moment of Shkia, that at the moment he hits a half a mil, so then that will be when Tzeis HaKochavim takes place. Another way, if you want to know the length of time of Bein Hashmashos according to Rabbi Nechemya, in Miachama Barosha Carmel, place the sun on Har Carmel, the Yored V'Yitbol Bayam, and go into the sea to do tefillah, the Yale, and come up, and that would be the amount of time if the sun is above Har Carmel. In other words, it's right above it, and the sun has begun to set, but you could see it above Har Carmel, then the amount of that time to go to the mikveh and to come up, go into the yam. Here we're talking about the Yam Kinneret, probably, that's right next to Har Carmel. So then, in such a case, that would be the time for Shkia. Now that we're talking about Mount Carmel, so then Gemara mentions something else. Someone who wants to see the Be'er Shel Miriam, that the Torah says that followed them when Miriam was with them, Yala Rosh HaKarmel should go to the top of Har Carmel, V'yitzap, and if he looks, V'yira, he'll see Kimin Kivra Bayam, almost, if he looks down into the Kinneret, he'll see almost a sieve in the sea, V'zuhi Be'er Shel Miriam, and that is the Be'er of Miriam. Amar Rav, Rav said, Mayon hamitaltel tohar, v'zeo be'ira shel Miriam. A mayon that moves. Here the mayon is coming out of this rock-like cistern, and it could move. Nevertheless, it is tohar, it's not mekabel tuma, and this is the be'er of Miriam. The Gemara continues discussing the sugya of Bein Hashmashos. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Bein Hashmashos to Rav Yehuda, during the Bein Hashmashos of Rebbe Yehuda, which we had on Lamed Dalid Amid Beis, where Rebbe Yehuda told us, according to Rabbah's explanation, that the moment of Bein Hashmashos is the moment that the sun sets until the horizon becomes dark. So during Bein Hashmashos, Rebbe Yehuda Kohanim Tovlimbo. The Kohanim could be Tovah. We know that the halacha is that a kohen who becomes tamei, who needs to go to the mikvah, generally has to wait for Harif Shemesh. Even after he's gone to the mikvah, the sun has to set on his tahara, his post-mikvah time, in order for him to become tar, entirely tar, to be able to eat truma. So the Gemara is being mechadesh, a very fascinating thing. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is saying that if he goes during Bein Hashmashos, then it still qualifies as if he went and had Harav Shemesh, even though the sun has already disappeared on the horizon. Asks the Gemara, Leman, who's going to say that he still had Harav Shemesh if he went to the mikvah during after the sun has set? Ilayim le Rabbi Yehuda, if you can say according to Rabbi Yehuda, Sveku. That's a suffix, that whole period of time. That's what we call Bein Hashmashos. Why is that considered as if he had Harav Shemesh? By the time he came up from the mikvah, the sun had already set. Ela Bein Hashmashos to Rabbi Yehuda le Rabbi Yossi. Rather, what it means is the Bein Hashmashos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when the sun has set, according the time, the period of Bein Hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yossi, Kohanim Tov Limbo. Then the Kohanim can do Tvila. We saw that Rabbi Yossi holds that Bein Hashmashos is Keheref Ayin. It's an eye blink. So if it's an eye blink, then it's definitely later than the time of the sun setting. Because the moment the eye blinks of Bein Hashmashos, the blink of Bein Hashmashos takes place, then it's night. So it can't be what we call Shkia today, the moment that the sun had set. So Gemara says, Pshita, that's Pashut. Answers the Gemara, Ma'u, the same Bein Hashmashos to Rabbi Yossi, Mishach Shaykh, Bid Rabbi Yehuda, I would have thought that Rabbi Yossi's Zman of Harif Ayin is at the end of Rabbi Yehuda's Zman. That's when the Harif Ayin takes place. And if that's so, if the individual went down at the time of Bein Hashmashos towards the end of Rabbi Yehuda, he would also already come up after the blink of Rabbi Yossi. So that's what the words mean. Mal the same Bein Hashmashos to Rabbi Yossi, Mishach Shaykh Bid Rabbi Yehuda. It runs at the same time. The blink takes place during the period. Let's say Bein Hashmashos is 72 minutes. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it ends at the end of 72 minutes. Rabbi Yossi's blink is at the end of 72 minutes. And if a person would go at the end of 72 minutes, then he won't have Harav Shemesh, even according to Rabbi Yossi. Mashmallah, no. The Chiddush is to Shalim Bein Hashmashos to Rabbi Yehuda, only when Rabbi Yehuda's Bein Hashmashos completes, it ends, after the entire nightfall, V'hadar Maskel Bein Hashmashos to Rabbi Yossi. Then you have the blink of Rabbi Yossi, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that the Kohanim could go down during that period, according to Rabbi Yossi, because it's considered as if the sun is still there. Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan or Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda in Shabbos, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Shabbos, V'halacha k'Rabbi Yossi l'inyan Truma. But we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi in regards to Truma, that the Kohen could go down for Tvila that late and still consider as if he had Harav Shemesh. It says in Gemara, Bishleim Halacha Rabbi Yehuda l'inyan Shabbos l'chumra. When it comes to Shabbos, we're machmir that the moment the sun sets, so then in such a case, it's considered Shabbos. Avol inyan truma mahi. What are we talking about? The truma we could follow the lenient opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Ilei melatvila sveikin. If we're saying in regards to going to the mikvah and Harav Shemesh, if it's a suffik, luchuri should be machmir. Ela lachilas truma. Rather, what do you mean? For eating truma. Not for the time that he's supposed to go to the mikvah, but rather after he's gone to the mikvah, when has the new day begun that he's able to eat truma? D'lo achli konim truma ad shalom bein hashmashos d'Rabbi Yossi. That's a chumra, Rashi explains on the top of Amud Beis. It's a chumra that we say that you have to wait until the bein hashmashos of Rabbi Yossi has passed, which we said is after Rabbi Yehuda, in order to be able to eat truma. Three lines from the top of Laman Heyam and Beis. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Koichav Echad Yoim Shnayim Bein Hashmashos. If there's one star That's a sign it's day. Two, it's a sign of twilight. Shlosha laila. Third is already nighttime. Tanya nami hachi koichavechad yom. If there's one star, then that's a sign that it's day. Shnayim ben hashmash shlosha laila. Amar Rabbi Yosi loikachavim gedolim hanirim biyom. We're not talking about large stars that are so large that they could even be seen during the day. And we're not talking about stars that are so small that they're seen during the pitch of the night. Hence, we have the cloud that nightfall is three middle-sized stars. If a person does work during both of the Bein HaShemashos, Rashi explains that we're talking about either Bein HaShemashos of Friday or Bein HaShemashos of Saturday night, Amatzai Shabbos, Chayiv Chatas. Then he is Chayiv Chatas, Memanoshach. In other words, if he had done Malacha and both of them, so he had definitely then done Malacha on Shabbos because it's Suffolk both day and night. So on one of them, for sure, if halfway through Bein HaShemashos is still considered the day, so then he didn't do Malacha on Friday, but he did Malacha on Shabbos. Turns out on Shabbos. If you say that half hour through is already night, so then he did on Friday, even though he didn't do it on Shabbos. Amalei Rava L'Shamei. Rava said to his attendant, Atun, Zlokim L'cho B'Shiur D'Rabbanon. You who don't know how to assess the exact Shiurim of the Rabbanon of Bein HaShemashos, so then you should follow the following rule. Ad shimshu areish dikli, when the sun is over the palm trees, isu sharga, then you could light a candle. Asks the Gemara a fascinating question. Biyom hamu'unan mai, what should they do on a cloudy day? In other words, Rava said to them, only light when you see the sun above the palm trees. In other words, that gives you a little bit of time, even if you're not sure when Shkia actually begins. But what if it's cloudy? Answers the Gemara. Bimasa, if he's in the city, Chazi Tainagarla, he should look at the chickens. That they sit, Rashi explains, on the beams when it's still day. When it goes night, then they disappear. Arvi, ravens are used, if he's not in the city, Bidavbro Arvi, when he's in the desert, he should look at the ravens, and by watching them, he could see if the sun has set. Again, as well, they sit up in the beams when it's still light. In the Masifta Gemara, they add that there are animals, particularly the chickens and the ravens, that stop jumping around and making their noises during Shkia, and then they go up to this beam, and that's a sign for Shkia. A city men, even the Tarnagol, is not so clear to us exactly what the change of behavior is. Inami Adani. Or else you could watch the grass, and in the grass themselves, when the sun begins to set, it begins to bend toward the west, and if the grass has begun to lean towards the west, then one should already start Malacha. The Gemara now describes the beautiful process of the announcement of Shabbos that used to take place. Bizman Abayis. 10 lines on the top of Laman Hamabes, Tan Rabban Shesh Tkiyas Toikin. There were 6 blasts of the shofar throughout Erev Shabbos to remind people that Shabbos is coming. Shesh Tkiyas Toikin Erev Shabbos, Rishona the first, Lahavtil Esa'am Mimalacha Shebesados, to announce to the people that if they're in the fields doing work that they should stop. Shnia, the second one, Lahavtil Ir Vichanuyos, it was to announce to people to stop working in the city. Of course, if you're in the field, it takes longer to get your stuff in and get home. Shlishis, the third, Lahavlik Esaner, to remind them to light Shabbos candles. Dear Reb Nasi, this is the opinion of Reb Nasi. Reb Yehuda Hanasi Omer, Shlishis lachlots tefillin. The third was to announce to take off the tefillin. Shabbos is lav zman tefillin. Vishoe kedei tzlias dog cotton. And then he waits for a moment, the amount of time it takes to roast a small fish, or the amount of time that it takes to make bread golden in the oven, or kedei lahadbik pas mitanor, or to attach it into the oven, and then the final blast. V'tokeya u'meiria v'tokeya. And then a tkiya and a terua is blown, v'shoves, and then everything stops. According to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, then there are four blasts before Shabbos, the third being for tefillin, and the fourth is the announcement to light candles. It seems to me that the number works beautifully according to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. There are four prior to the tkiya, trua, tkiya, and Rashi tells us in Dibra HaMaskel, Shesh Tkiyas, that we only count the tkiya as one. So then we have two more tkiyas, the tkiya, trua, tkiya. Maybe that would be the sixth, according to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Mark continues, Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Ma Nasalem LeBavloim. What are we going to do about the Babylonians? Shetokinu Meirin Vishovsin. They don't blow another tkiya, and therefore they're not going to get to six. Mitoch Meirin, they rest after their trua. Tokinu Meirin, so if you add only the tkiya and the trua, Havalei Chamisha, it's only going to be five. Ella says the Gemara, Shetokin v'chozin v'tokin u'meirin v'shovsin mitoch meirin. Says the Gemara, they also blew two tekiyas, but they do blew the tekiyah and a tekiyah, and then they blew a teruah, this nine short blasts, and then they rested. Minigav v'sein b'yidein, that was their custom. The Gemara now quotes a different Tannaitic teaching that is not consistent with anything that we had learned above. Masin the Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yitzchak Brei, Rav Yehuda taught Rav Yitzchak his son Shnia lahadlik es haner, that the second blast of tkiyas is to tell people to light the candles. So ask the Gemara, that doesn't work according to anybody. Keman lo k'Rabbi Nasan v'lo k'Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, it fits neither in the above opinions of Rav Nasan or Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rav Nasan learned it was on the third blast they light the candles. According to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, it's on the fourth blast. Ella shlishis lahadlik es haner, rather the girsa, appropriate girsa is the third blast to light the candle, and he was teaching Keman Kerebi Nasan. It was following Rebbe Nasan. Tandrei Rebbe Shmuel, Sheish Tkiyas Toikin Erev Shabbos. There were six Tkiyas. Hischelot Goat Girishaina, Nimnu Aim de Misad Miladu Melachrosh Melasiko Melach Shebesados. On the first blast, people stopped working in the field from hoeing and plowing and doing all types of work. Ve'ena Krovin Rashoin Likonis. And the people who are close to the city, not allowed to walk into the city until the ones who are further away, Achivo Rachokin, till the ones who are further away, Vikansu Kulam Ke'echad. Rashi explains that the reason all of them have to go in together is because if people will see the people who are close to the city coming in first, and then only lay the people further away, they'll think that the people who are further away didn't listen to the shofar blast, and they kept on working, and they didn't follow the protocol as decided by Chachamenu Zichrono Levracha. V'adayin chaniyos psuchos, and the stores were still open, utrisim munachin. And business was going on. They closed up the treason. They used to have these shutters that they would close the store with. And the stores were closed. But Klal Yisrael was still cooking its food on the stove for Shabbos. They had both the chamin and the pots. Even those days, it seemed that there was some type of chalent that was called chamin. And then they had the kderos with the liquids that was sitting on the stove. Ukderos munachin al gabe kira. Yischulot koat kishlishis. Then the third shofar blast was blown. Siluk hamisalek. So they would remove the pots from on top of the fire, those pots that they needed for that night. The hitmin amatmin, and then they insulated the food with a dover sheinu mosif hevel, which is permissible to do on Erev Shabbos. The hidlik hamadlik, one whose job was to light the candles, would light the candles. The shah kedetzis, the cotton, okedel hadbik pas butanur, and then there was the amount of time it takes to roast a small fish or to attach bread, or to bake bread in an oven, v'tokeiah u'meiriah v'tokeiah v'shoves. And then the tkiah and the truah and tkiah with blast took place, and then there is a chiyuv of shvisa, and a peace descended on Yerushalayim. Amar Rav Yosi bar Chanina shamati. Rav Yosi bar Chanina said, I heard, shem ba lahadlik achar sheish tkiyos, that if a person wants to light candles after the six blasts, madlik, then they can light, which is not the mashmos of what we saw above. Sharei nasnu chacham shir lechazan ha-kneses leholich shofar lebayis, because there was a window of time that was given even after the last blast for him to be able to take his shofar back lebeso, to his house. Merlo. Here Rabbi Yosef Erchanina is not speaking to somebody, so some have the girsa amrulo. They said to him, because we don't know which individual it was, im kein asata dvarecha l'shiurim, you're going to allow people at such a close call, where the Chacham Cheshbon, the exact amount of time of walking from the Beis HaMikdash to his house, that they did. But the moment you're going to have people doing it during that window, so then you're giving your words to Shiurim, and they might come to Chilul Shabbos. And even for the individual himself, it all depends on where his house is and so on. Elamokam Tznua Yeshul Chazan HaKnesses Birosh Gago. Rather, there was a hidden place that the Chazan HaKnesses had on the top of the southwestern corner in the Beis HaMikdash. Shamanicho Shofar. There they placed the Shofar Lufi She'em Etalton Lo Asa Shofar Lo Asa Chatzotzos. Because you're not allowed to carry neither the Shofar nor the trumpets on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, V'atanya Shofar Metalton V'chatzotzos Ein Metalton. But didn't we learn that a Shofar can be carried and a trumpet cannot be carried, because a Shofar also had a purpose in those days to use for holding water? Answers the Gemara, Lo Kasha Kan B'Yochid Kan B'Tzibur. A tzibur would never use it to hold it for water. An individual would use it to hold water for a child. That's what the Gemara says. Asks the Gemara on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, but tzibur nami chazi legamei latinuk ani. Even though normally the tzibur would not use it, what, it has no use for the public, but if there is a poor child, then the tzibur would donate it as a receptacle for a poor child. Visu on the top of Laman Vama mouth. Hadasani Kishem Shimataltanas Ashofer Kach Metaltanas Achatzotzras. We learned that just like you're allowed to carry a shofar, you're allowed to carry a trumpet. In other words, there are opinions that hold that we don't differentiate between the two. And maybe the reason why one would be able to be metaltal shofar is because you're able to be metaltal both. And not for the reason that we had said for a small child. Must be another reason it's permissible. Elalo kasha, ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Shimon, ha Rabbi Nechemia. Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow's daf we will pick up in being masbir this line in the Gemara, but for our purposes, we know that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda have a machlokis of whether there is a concept of muktza on objects that are generally not used on Shabbos, but at the same time, a person is not makse his das, doesn't designate his mind not to use it. It's these parve type of objects. When we're talking about wood and stones, so even Rabbi Shimon will hold up their muktzah. However, what about objects that are more amorphic, like a shofar? So Rabbi Shimon holds that you don't need to positively designate it before Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you need to positively designate it before Shabbos in order to be able to use it. So the opinion that says that it's going to be permissible to use the shofar will spell out the different opinions of shofar, yes, chatzotzros, no, both shofar and chatzotzros, but the machlokis over here, whether you're able to be metaltal a shofar, is revolving around this issue. At this stage of the Gemara is suggesting that in the Beis HaMikdash, they were being machmir lefi shitas Rebbe Yehuda. Bezer Hashem, we will pick up with this tomorrow, and now we go to a very important halacha section in the shita of Rabbeinu Tam for Bein Hashmasha. Bezer Hashem Yisparech, our halacha topic from Daf Lamed Hei is the issue of Seis HaKochavim. How long does one need to wait after Shabbos. When is it considered no longer Laila? An analysis of the positions of the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam, and a few important applications of their Shita. Could very well be that the most important daf for the sugya of Seis HaKochavim and Bein HaShmoshos is Lamed Hei Masechet Shabbos, because Tosas in Dibra HaMaskul Trei Til Simil asks a fantastic question. The Gemara on the top of Lamed Hei Amid Aleph had told us that according to Rav Yosef, the amount of time it takes for Shkia is the amount of time it takes to walk 2/3 of a mil. Rabba says 3/4 of a mil. We also had in our daf the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya, who says the amount of time it takes to walk 1/2 mil. Ask Tosfos that the Gemara in Psachim on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amid Aleph describes that the distance between Shkia Sachama to Tzeis HaKolchavim can be ascribed, yes, in terms of distance, the amount of time that a person would walk 4 mil. Ask Tosfos, there's a contradiction over here. It seems from the sugya in Psachim that the amount of time of Bein HaShmashos is actually quite a bit more than as described in our sugya. In fact, more than 5 times as much. Tosfos reconciles this contradiction in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, and here evolves Rabbeinu Tam's shita of the time for Tzeis HaKochavim, that there are two parts to the shkia. There's the Tchilas shkia, which is what our Gemara describes, and that is 3/4 of a mil into the day. And the Gemara in Psachim is talking about Sof HaShkia. This opinion of Rabbeinu Tam is as well found in Psachim on Daf Beis Amid Aleph. And hence, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Shabbos is not over, and Shabbos does not entirely begin until 72 minutes after Shkia. We mentioned yesterday that the Chassam Sofer, or Chaim Simin Pei, attests that in their communities in Hungary, they followed Rabbeinu Tam, even to the point that it seemed that they did Malacha after the first Shkia. In other words, after what we call the sun setting, but not at the end already of the first Shkia. In other words, when the sun set, there were some who did Shkia, did Malacha. 3/4 of a mil into sunset, it seems from the Chassam Sofer that they already stopped doing Malacha, being Choshesh already for that moment for Bein HaShmashos. And this is how it's found in Shulchan Aruch. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like this opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Says the Mechaber, in Reish Samach Aleph Siv Beis, Yesh Omrim Shetzarach Lahosef Michol Al HaKodesh. There are some who say that there's a mitzvah to add Tosefes Shabbos. Uzman Tosefes Zeh. Now notice how he says it. Hu Mitchilas Hashkia. We don't follow this, but the Mechaber says that Zman Tosefes starts from the beginning of Shkia. She'ein HaShemesh Neiras Al Haaretz. It's not really Shkia yet. That's Tosefes. Ad Zman Bein HaShmashos. Until the time of Zman HaShmashos. V'Azman HaZeh Shu Shloshim Milin U'Raviyah. That's 3/4 of a mil. Ratzal Asoso Kulo Tosefes Asa. Ratzal Asmenin Mixas Oseh. So we see that the Mechaber holds that Shabbos does not start at the moment of Shkia, and one is still being Mekayim Tosefes Shabbos by the beginning of Shmia, Shkia, as we saw from the Chassam Sofer. However, as it's well known, the Gaonim disagreed with the Rabbeinu Tam. Their position is brought down, the Shas L'Tshuvas Maram Al Shakir, Simin Tzadi Vav, and what's most famous is the strong disagreement of the Vilna Gaon to Rabbeinu Tam. And the Vilna Gaon's argument goes, Hachush Makhish. The Vilna Gaon says, how could you possibly say that nightfall is only 72 minutes after Shkia? We already see 3 stars in the horizon way before 72 minutes. And the Gra says that it's considered halachically night already 3/4 of a mil after Shkia. Let us stop for a moment and do the cheshbon of 3/4 of a mil. On a regular day, which has 12-hour day and a 12-hour night, when we calculate 3/4 of a mil, which there are different opinions whether it takes 18 minutes to walk a mil, 22 minutes to walk a mil, 24 minutes. The general assumption is that it is 18 minutes. So 18 minutes after Shkia, according to Pior Din, the Fi the Gra, Shabbos would be over. I've heard two defenses for the position of Rabbeinu Tam against the allegation of the Gra that Achush Machish, that way before 72 minutes, there are three stars in the sky. One that I don't understand, that I was zocha to hear from my great Rebbe Rav Nevinzel Shlita, he told me that it could very well be that the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam weren't arguing at all. And that is, Rabbeinu Tam was describing in France, which is very far away from the equator, and those who know astronomy know that it takes longer for the countries that are further away from the equator to get dark. And Rabbeinu Tam was describing it in France. But in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel, there, which are both closer to the equator, there the sky darkens a lot more quickly. I'm not sure I understand what my great Rebbe said, because if you take a look in the Gemara in Psachim and Sadi Gimel Amid Beis, the Gemara actually makes a calculation of the 72 minutes that the Gra reported in the name of Rabbeinu Tam as being incorrect, which becomes the source for Rabbeinu Tam, as the distance that Rabbi Chanina had seen from Sodom to Tzoar. The Gemara, 10 lines from the bottom on Sadi Gimel Amid Beis, quotes the Pasuk in last week's Parsha and Parshas Vayera, that when Lot was escaping, it says the Malachim pulled him out, Ukimo HaShachar Allah, at daybreak, which by the way corresponds to Shkia, the Malachim pulled him out, and then it says HaShemesh Yotza Al-Aretz V'Lot Bo'atzora. So the distance between Sodom and Tzoar, says the Gemara, is the same distance as we see from the Psukim, from daybreak, Alos HaShachar, and Neitzachama. Rabbi Chanina says he saw the distance, and there's a discussion in the Gemara whether that distance, he measured it. There's a discussion whether it's a distance of 4 mil or 5 mil. Our Gemara, the Halacha, assumes that it's 4 mil, but clearly it wasn't 3 quarters of a mil. It was 4 mil. That's the source of the Gemara in Psachim. Now that distance, which is the source for the Shita Rabbeinu Tam, is in the area of Eretz Yisrael. It's right by the Yam HaMelech. Therefore, it sounds like the Makar Rabbeinu Tam was built off Eretz Yisrael, and not, as my Rebbe had suggested, is built off of France. Bli Nedar, as I was going over the Sugya today in the Daf Yomi, the question dawned upon me. I will try to ask Rav Nevinzel that tomorrow. Another explanation to defend Rabbeinu Tam against the Gra is found in the Sefer Dvar Shmuel on Psachim, who was a Lamdin who died young, who learned in the Mir Yeshiva, and he quoted a very simple pshat, Bidas Rabbeinu Tam, and that is, there's no machlokis between the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam, because the Gra was talking about looking in the Eastern Hemisphere, which is darker than the Western Hemisphere. If you remember, the Gemara described that the Eastern Hemisphere reflects the sunning of the sun in the Western Hemisphere, but clearly it's going to be darker. Check, next time the sun goes down in the West, you'll see that the East is darker. The Gra was looking towards the East when he looked for the stars. And then he said, Achush Machish, that 18 minutes after Shkia, you'll already see stars. Rabbeinu Tam was looking in the west where the sun sets, and there it takes a lot longer for it to get dark, and there it's 72 minutes. This is a very elegant pshat in the machlokis that makes it that the machlokis is not a machlokis in Metzius. Either way, it does need to be emphasized that one should not, most days of the year, chas v'chalila du malacha 18 minutes after Shkia on Shabbos. And the reason for that is pointed out in the Ber Halacha in that Simen, in Reish Samech Alf. The Gra is found in Sif Katan Yud Gimel. The Ber Halacha in Dibra Maschil Shehu points out that the entire calculation of 18 minutes is only on a perfect day. As we started out, the examples we were given is if there is a 12-hour day and 12-hour night. However, once the Shos Zmanios change, because the days are no longer equally divided, then that makes the calculation during the summer as being longer because the hours are longer, and therefore during the summer, particularly, Bein HaShmashos will extend a lot later. And the Gra himself writes this. The Gra also makes another point, says the Be'er HaLacha, and this is the point Rav Nevinzal was driving at before, and that is, the further you go away from the equator, the longer Bein HaShmashos is going to be. If that's so, even though the Prima Gadim suggests that maybe it would not be dependent on the distance from the equator, my Rabbeim felt very strongly that in New York City, no, even the Gra, it's Kemat Meforsh in the Gra, the easiest way to see this is in the Be'er HaLacha, Dibra Maslul Shu Gimel Milim, that it's clear that Bein HaShmashos will be longer than 18 minutes. Hence, the custom, as I grew up in New York, was not to do malacha before 40 minutes. I found another makar of why not to do malacha for 40 minutes, and that is in Rav Yisrael Zalman's, in the name of Rav Yisrael Zalman Sefer, in Hilchos Kriyishma, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, he quotes Rav Yosef Schwartz, who struggles with the Gra's 18 minutes, and he asks that the Gra's Chush Machish is also difficult, because if you look up in the sky, it's hard to see stars only 18 minutes after Shkia. He quotes Reb David Beharan, who is a famous tzaddik in Yerushalayim, a good friend of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who suggested that the reason why today we don't see it is because there is so much light in the street, and once upon a time, everything was dark and it was a lot easier to see the stars. Nevertheless, Rav Yosef Schwartz suggested that in general we only see these middle-sized stars 40 minutes after Shkia, even if we're not going to follow Rabbeinu Tam, and that is the custom, as I know, in the States. In Israel, it could very well be there are people that daven Ma'ariv earlier than 40 minutes after Shkia, and consider that even the Zman Kriyishma. And if I am not mistaken, Rav Nevinzal said from Rav Shlomo Zalman, something around 25 minutes after Shkia, already being the Zman of Kriyishma. And here, on this halacha, in Reish Samach Aleph, Rav Nevinzal said that Be'eretz Yisrael Nogim Kedas HaGra, that the meaning in Eretz Yisrael is to follow the Gra, and those who follow Rabbeinu Tam will only use it L'chumra. I think I heard from Rav Chizkio Nevinzal that Rav Nevinzal is Choshesh for Rabbeinu Tam, in all Tanesim, that he waits a long, long time. He doesn't only wait 72 minutes, he even waits longer. It's well known that in Brisk, Reb Chaim had a longer cheshbon. And even though the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Samach Aleph, as we read, seems to follow Rabbeinu Tam, Rav Nevinzal was ma'orer that in Hilchos Mila, in Simen Reish Samach Beis Sif Hei, it sounds like the Mechaber does not go like Rabbeinu Tam, and some have suggested that that the Mechaber was actually Choser from his Psak, and we follow the Psak that of the Gra, and therefore, even on the longest of days, Rav Nevinzal says 28 minutes after Shkia, Rav Shlomo Zalman had said, was the end of Bein HaShmashos. It was the beginning of Tzveis. On an average day, as I mentioned, 25 minutes, a short day, 22 minutes. Finally, another item of interest, which is as much a case of historical interest, is the last psak. Rav Nevinzal told me the last psak that he heard from Shlomo Zalman Orbach is recorded as well in Rav Nevinzal's hesped for Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, that he visited him, if I'm not mistaken, in Shari Tzedek. Shlomo Zalman asked him, how is it possible that there are two babies that are born at the same time in Shari Tzedek, and one baby, the bris, will be on one day, and the other on the other day when they're both healthy? And Rav Shlomo Zalman smiled and told him that he thought it depended on what floor in Shari Tzedek they were born. The ones who are born on the lower floor, so then if they were born very, very close to Shkia, so then in such a case, if the sunset cannot be seen from that room, and the sun has already descended on the horizon from that floor, then in such a case it's already the next day. But a child whose mother gave birth on a higher floor where there's a greater scope to be able to see the sunset and the sun for longer, then that baby will be, his Mila would be on the eighth day from before the Shkia, while the baby on the lower floor would be the next day. This is found in Rav Nevinzal's Zahara briefly in Dibra Maschel Sheachama in Simen Reish Samach Aleph, and is found more clearly in the Hesped for Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the back of the Sichos on Rosh Hashanah. This is a tremendous chiddush, because then you will often have two people, two or three blocks away from each other, one of them who can no longer see the sun, and the other who's on a higher elevation who can see the sun, and one will have Shabbos, and one will not have Shabbos. This is a big chiddush. I'm not aware of many of the Talmidim of Rav Nevinzal who've followed this lahalacha, but I think it is very dear to him, because this is the last psak that he heard from Shlomo Zalman Orbach before he passed away, when he visited him in the hospital. Finally, since we mentioned that time and that last psak, I will tell you a story that I heard from Rav Tzvi Shiloni at the time at the Shiva, when Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal had passed away. During the week of Shiva, the boys knew the time that Rav Nevinzal would leave Yeshiva HaKotel to go learn with Rav Shlomo Zalman in his famous hideaway. And on that assigned day, on that fateful day where for the first time in many, many years, Rav Nevinzal would not learn with him b'chavrusa, Talmidim watched him go into an office that he hardly ever used, and he cloistered himself there, and Rav Shiloni told me that he put his ear to the door and he heard terrible sobbing. That was a real connection between a Rebbe and a Talmud. These are some of the halachos of Bein Hashmashos, the machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra, and a few things from the psakim of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal.